The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. It's Monday. You know what that means. It's time for Monday Night Raw. It's time for the Fightful review. We're here with Denise Salcedo. Denise, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Nice to be on here this day today.
It is. Look at you being nice.
You made it.
You made it through the intro without being mean to me. I'm so proud of you, Denise.
I told you like several days ago that I would be nice to you. I think what was it, Friday? I was like, okay, yes. I'm going to be nice to Sean Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I didn't promise tomorrow though, because I figured something's going to go down Monday, and so I'm not going to be that happy with Sean.
Well, guys, you all will have the opportunity to see if Denise is going to be nice to me on Wednesday. Because Jimmy Van's going to be out of town, so we're doing The List and Your Girl number 6 this Wednesday. Of course, we're going to talk more about Brody Lee. We're going to talk about the world of wrestling. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. But Denise popped up on our SmackDown post show. We had one of the best SmackDowns of the year Friday. And afterwards, after we got done reviewing it, Alex and Denise joined us for like an hour. That was different. That was fun.
I know, that was random too. And I think it was because, what wasn't it, Christmas? It was Christmas Day. So I had nothing else to do. I was just chilling. And I have this thing now where after my show, like, we tend to finish earlier than you and Jeremy do. I was like, oh, I usually catch like the last few minutes of the show, and I usually go to talk smack, right? So finally I was able to be brought on, and it was just fun, random. I kind of just felt like we were just hanging out as friends, but, you know, on a computer.
I discovered bagged milk on this show. Go watch that, guys. It's a fun time. You learn a lot about us on that show. But please leave a thumbs up on this video. Please subscribe. Please tap that bell for notifications if you're watching live on youtube.com/Fightful. And send us a super chat. If you want your questions or statement read on the air, you can get it done there. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Fightful Online. But we've got a couple other projects that I want to tell you guys about. Fightful Scraps. It is our clips channel. I have uploaded a ton of compilations over there to get our watch hours up. I'm pushing for 1,000 subscribers over there so we can monetize that channel. It's got a lot. It's going to have just hundreds and hundreds of clips from our interviews and compilations, stuff like that. Also, we've got a Twitch channel now, twitch.tv/Fightful Gaming. Go follow that. Please help us out. We would greatly appreciate it. And of course, FightfulSelect.com. We're breaking news all the time, but
man, Fightful's everywhere now.
We are. We're all over the place, Denise. We're opening up all these different content avenues, and we're rebuilding Fightful Select as we speak. We got so much stuff going on over there. I revealed this week we're going to be bringing back our Fightful forums for Fightful Select. It's going to be a good time, but there were some not so good times this weekend, Denise. It was Saturday evening when we learned that, unfortunately, John Huber, also known as Luke Harper, Brody Lee, passed away. I was actually on the air doing a Fightful Scraps Q&A while this news broke, and I immediately hopped over to Fightful and kind of revealed what news that I could. Alex did a really heartfelt sour graps that we left open to everybody. But Denise, this is heartbreaking. It's so sad. It's a guy who is so universally revered and adored in pro wrestling. We haven't really heard you speak on this or any thoughts that you might have, but I mean, obviously a horrible situation.
Yeah. So I found out obviously Saturday, I think it was just a couple minutes after AEW had posted that tweet up that they posted. And it was so out of nowhere. And obviously that's what death is like. We know that, but I went on Twitter and I was just going in with like this different mindset of, oh, I'm going to go check this dumb status that I posted a couple of hours. Let's see how it's doing. And I saw the tweet from AEW and it didn't make sense to me. Like I was reading it, but I wasn't understanding it. Like I wasn't comprehending what it was telling me. And so I turned around and I looked at my fiance who was right next to me. And I was like, dude, I was like, did you see this? And he was like, what? And I was like, what is this? Like, even though like I was reading it, I didn't like register at all. And so automatically, like instantaneously, it was just like tweet after tweet after tweet of people talking about this. And I'm just thinking, I couldn't register it whatsoever. And it's just one of those things where you're like, damn, like, what the hell? Like, I was just talking about this guy, you know, a couple weeks ago on the show. Like, this is somebody that we've known, that we're seeing. Like, this isn't just somebody that, oh, hasn't been on TV for years. And yeah, you know, we're a big fan and we respect this person. No, like, this is somebody that we were seeing. So it hits you differently. It feels different because it's kind of like that thing where you're just like, man, like, I just saw this person and now they're gone. So it's that part of it that you're just like, oh. And then just like every single day, like, that, you know, being on Twitter and all of that, I think that people just have been like really open. So it's been hard, I think, for everybody, like for the wrestling community and everyone.
Yeah. I mean, people jumped in that live stream chat on Scraps and they said, Brody Lee died. And immediately I'm thinking, why are people playing this kind of joke? And then I look at the AEW thing and there's the graphic and I'm like, did they get hacked? Is this a hoax? What's happening? Like anything to convince me this isn't real. This isn't real. I've had a lot of people asking me like what I knew about it. I had AEW wrestlers asking me what I knew about it. Nothing before 2 weeks ago. I had heard a couple weeks ago that he had an illness. I was not under the impression it was anywhere like life or death. And from what I understand, in early November, the roster was told about this by members of his family and basically sworn to secrecy. So the fact that it is kept quiet speaks a lot to the respect that he commanded and the respect that they wanted to show Brody Lee's family. And I admire that so much. I admire the fact that his family was comfortable enough and confident enough in that roster to share that with them and keep them updated. The people that really needed to know what was going on with John Huber, with Brody Lee. And I respect that roster so much for keeping that private, the family's wishes. This is, man, just the outpouring of support and all that came from that, not just that roster, the WWE roster and independent wrestlers and so many people that he helped teach. And I unfortunately didn't get the opportunity to speak with him many times, like maybe three or four times. We spoke about MMA. We spoke about his kids. Spoke briefly about what his next move would be because I had asked him for an interview. He's like, well, hey, listen, I'm not going to do interviews right now, but I will eventually. And unfortunately, we didn't get to do that. But he was like, I kind of want people to forget about me, then remember me when it's time. And nobody's ever going to forget that guy. And a story I haven't shared with anybody was a pretty funny rib that he pulled on me the one time I talked to him on the phone. We had about a 10-15 minute conversation about a story that was written. And before he got off the phone, he said, hey, I got a big scoop for you. And I was like, yeah. And then he hung up on me.
So he totally got you excited thinking you were going to get something good.
Yes. And then sent me a smiley face after that. And I was like, oh, come on. And that was the only time I got to speak to him, like voice to voice, so to speak. Everything else was direct communication and clarity on stories and stuff like that. And like that sense of humor, That sense of humor was just something that stuck with me. And I wish I could have been able to experience more than that, but I wish that his family got to experience more than that. They got to experience a lot of it, but nowhere near the amount that they deserved to. We as wrestling fans are so, so lucky that almost half of his life is on film for us to see. Like, so we have so many memories of him that we get to share. And it's just a shame we don't get more and that his family doesn't get more.
And it's interesting too that you say that, you know, people were reaching out to see if like anybody had like, you know, said anything. And it just really, I just think that it's such a big deal that, you know, for et cetera amount of time, like no one went and said, hey, like, this is what we know. Like nobody went out to spread the gossip. And that to me is just like, it's pretty astonishing because as we all know, in every like realm of the world, it's so easy for information to be spread. Even if you think that no one, even if you think the person you're telling is never going to tell anybody. And so I just think that it's awesome that nobody went and like blasted it out there, you know, because you got to respect the family's wishes. And it's, yeah. So I'm happy to hear that nobody went out there and like, you know, spread the rumors.
Yeah. It said so much because I mean, it's hard to keep a secret in wrestling, especially when so many people know about it. And, I mean, I know a lot of the roster, they didn't quite think that it was, they always thought he was going to pull through type of thing. So, we're going to get to some super chats. I know a lot of you all want to pay homage to Brody Lee as well. Matthew McFadden says, AEW dedicating their next show to Mr. Brody, as well as booking a match with all of Little Brody's favorite wrestlers straight in the feels. They've been doing a lot of nice things for that family over the last couple of months, especially. I know that's one of the reasons why AEW is a little unhappy. Well, not a little, a lot unhappy with the results getting leaked is because some of it involved him. So I think it's great. They've pushed back one of their big shows, one of their gigantic shows, to accommodate this, which is a no-brainer, Denise. They were going to do that no matter what.
Yeah, and I think that not to say like, oh, they had to, because I don't think anybody has to do anything, but the fact that they're, you know, they're doing it, I was so happy because I was expecting it. I didn't really know what sort of way, how they were going to, you know, honor him or, you know, give him a tribute. I didn't really know how they were going to do it. But I think so far, based on what Tony Khan has put out there on Twitter, I just feel like they're going about it the right way. Like, even just like you said, like the matches that they booked, you know, just everything that they're doing, it feels like the right thing to do. And like, no matter what happens on AEW Dynamite this week, it's going to be like a show that is very bittersweet. Like, it's going to be enjoyable. You're going to feel happy because, you know, it is what it is. But then at the same time, it's going to be heartbreaking because you know why the show is happening.
Hannah Moore mentions that the proceeds for his shirts will go to the family. She got one from EC3's store because more will go to the family. I encourage people to do that. EC3 doing something really, really great. I asked EC3 last year whenever I think he had a match with Brody Lee. It was one of their like last matches together, and I was able to talk to him a little bit about that. Throwback 27 says he impacted lives in a positive manner. It goes to show that one person can make a huge impact on so many levels. It's sad that it hit wrestling this hard, but shows how much positive love people have. Yeah, I mean, it's impossible to be positive all the time, but it is very, it's very important to put that out in the world. And Bryant says, I know this isn't going to be the lasting takeaway from his death, but it does give me hope that the wrestling community is coming together no matter what to show the support. They support, and it does put a smile on me. Yeah, I mean, you just hear so many great stories, Denise. That was one of the positive takeaways is that we learned so much about this guy and how good he was to people. Buying people camera sets and buying people gear and robes and all this stuff. That's out of the goodness of his heart.
Or just even the fact that, you know, everybody out there now knows, if you didn't know already, that he was a family man. Like, he was a family man, and like everybody said the exact same thing. And like, when people are saying the exact same thing, you know, it has to be, you know, and you know, it is true. And you see the pictures, and it was hard to, you know, go back and look at the photos, but, oh, I don't know.
The Nerd Guru says Xavier Woods is a national treasure, and Colt Bedeau says he did a tribute to Brody on Raw Talk. I will be watching that immediately after this. And Ryan B. Jam says, I loved Woods doing the clothesline and Tom calling it the Harper clothesline, plus Tom and Drew doing the It's Monday, you know what that means line. There were a lot of tributes. Alexa saying yeah, yeah, yeah in her promo. There was a whole lot of that tonight, and it made me so happy to see that. That was they don't even have to be subtle nods. Like, they're not going to get punished for doing that, obviously. I mean, this is a person that so many people loved and cared about. When Brody Lee left, and I was talking to people in WWE about it, it was like unanimous excitement. Not like, oh, well, he got screwed over here. It's just he wants to create, and he's going to have the opportunity to do that. Everybody was so excited for him. And Denise, I can't believe it was only 7 months that we had an AEW. It felt like he was there the whole time because of all that he accomplished there.
He fit right into it. Like the Mr. Brody Lee stuff, everything that he was doing, it was easy. It was very easy to like, very easy to enjoy. And it's just, I can't believe it, man. Like when someone posted on Twitter that his last match was the dog collar match, I was like, what?
Yeah.
How? Like what? Like we were just talking about this match. Like I was just talking about this. How is that possible? And then
in October,
right?
In October,
like,
yeah.
It doesn't. It's just those things that you're like, I understand the facts. I understand what's happening, but you can't really accept it or like register it in your brain. Like, how is this? You know. But it's just like a constant reminder of like how fleeting life is. And like, I don't want to get emo or anything, but like, it's something that obviously I think a lot of us were thinking about in the last few days with this announcement.
Bryant Heath says, it's Monday, you know what that means. And Colt Bedeau says, it was nice to see all the wrestlers do their own tribute to Brody. It felt genuine. It was genuine. Like when you reach out, and it's so funny because like when you just reach out and check on somebody, like you almost always get a story. Like somebody will say, man, I'll remember him for this. I'll remember him for this. And like everyone that interacted with him has some sort of positive story. Right.
So like your story was like way better than mine, but I'll just share like a quick one. So like
Sure. When
I went to Fan Access, okay, so there's been times where I've met several wrestlers, you know, as a kid growing up as a fan, you know, I went to the meet and greets, and there's a couple of times where like the wrestlers would ignore you. They wouldn't even look at you, and you're like, hi, I'm Denise. It's nice to meet you. You're all excited. They don't even look at you, right? They just sign your autograph, take your picture, next person in line, right? When I did the Access, and I got to meet him, I just remember like he was so like, you can tell he was happy to be there. He was happy to meet all the fans. You actually got that one-on-one interaction that you want as a fan when you go up to meet a wrestler. And I remember even afterwards, I was telling my fiance, I was like, he smells good. And then that was it. Like we took our picture and it was like such a like silly memory, but that's like my memory that I have that I was like, oh, he smells really good. And then that was it. It's so dumb.
Did you see the Kofi thing? He said that, or I think Cesaro too, they talked about how he took pride in making sure his dirty shirts were actually really clean and smelled good.
I didn't see that actually.
They said it was like almost like an art for him to make them smell and be as clean or smell as good and be as clean as possible, make them look as dirty as possible. Like that's the kind of thing, like that doesn't come up in an interview. That doesn't come up in anything else.
You gotta know the person to know.
Yeah. That. Chris Rain says, really looking forward to the AEW tribute this show. The BTE today was the first time I laughed in a couple days. Just seeing the impact he had on so many people is inspiring. When I posted that clip of him and Sue, oh my gosh. Like that was so fun. Like they helped reinvigorate being the Elite. Like I thought being the Elite had lost its way. And then the Dark Order came. And you saw him and John Silver and all these guys doing what they did. It was a completely different side of Brody Lee that we had never seen before. Like other people had, lots of other people had if they knew him and they had the pleasure of seeing him in person. But that was so cool.
Yeah, I like when he was like, he doesn't like your food. And then he would smack John and tell him like, you stupid idiot. And like all this
fall
stuff.
Down for Sue. You better fall down for Sue.
I know. And it's just like, oh, like even for Silver, like my heart goes out to him because just like having those memories, he was like had like you can tell they had like a really nice like on camera and, you know, off camera relationship as well. Just like watching the way they interacted. And he was just like, you know, looking down and being called an idiot and all this stuff.
Disgruntled New York Jets fan Justin Lopez. You shouldn't be disgruntled anymore, Justin. They won a big game last night. or yesterday. He says, this is so tragic. He was my favorite. Why? And I enjoyed every one of his matches. A 6'7" man working like a cruiserweight was just incredible to me. He was special. He was special. Injection says, Sean, when I saw that you were live, I thought you were lying. I was hoping it was a bad joke. Brody will for sure be missed. Yeah, forever. It's one of those things. I was hoping it was some sick joke, but because I mean, that would have been better than the alternative, us losing Brody Lee. Unfortunately, that was not it. Luis says, Sean, loved the Brody Lee article you did on Fightful. Also, the BTE tribute was great. Thank you very much. I don't write a lot of features on Fightful anymore, but I wanted to do that one because his work meant an awful lot to me. Throwback says, the up, up, down, down tribute was amazing. Bryant says, I think more so than Moxley, Brody's leaving WWE made me the most excited as a fan. Yeah, I thought so to me as well, because I had seen on a pretty big stage what Moxley was capable of because he got to be at the top of the mountain. I had not got to see that with the then Luke Harper, Denise.
Right, exactly. And that's it bums you out, man. Like just thinking, like you said, like he was only there for a couple of months in AEW and it feels like he did a lot. But then like you're part of you still like, man, like he was just getting this opportunity to, you know, even do more.
D'Lo Diggs says Woods doing Brody's discus clothesline was awesome. We're going to talk about all these tributes. We're not going to just slow this down when the Raw review starts in a few moments. We're going to keep sharing these thoughts. I want you guys to share your memories as well. Brian Mahoney says fans are constantly in cyber wars over their favorites weekly, but Brody's passing tells me more about the respect that extends to every locker room in pro wrestling. Unanimous respect for that man. And Rob Wilkins says, I think you're right, Sean. I've been watching him since Chikara. That's 12 years ago. I watched Owen and Eddie a combined maybe 10 or 11. That's wild to think. Like if you were an indie fan and you saw him in Ring of Honor or Dragon Gate, you probably watched him for a decade. And Ryan B. James says Maple Leafs and hockey legend Doug Gilmore tweeting about Brody Lee showed he was much more than just wrestling. He was a good guy, and that's what's important. Well, we had what I thought was a pretty good Monday Night Raw, Denise. What did you think? I know you were ecstatic over The Miz.
Jesus Christ, Sean, I hated that. Don't even. Well, I can't even pretend. I mean, once we get there, I'll share my thoughts. But overall, sure. I want to say that I enjoyed Raw. I didn't look at the clock today. I think by the time I looked, 2 hours had gone by already.
It flew fast.
Yes, I was very happy about that because, as you know, like the longer Raw takes, the more I eat during the show. And let's face it, that's not good for anybody. So
I got these good to go. I had yogurt. I had peanuts. And I didn't even get to that much stuff.
I just had cake, but you know,
I gotta get ready to outrace my math teacher, Denise.
I thought you already did that though. The 6 miles.
I did the 6 miles. I wanna crack him down.
Your energy depresses me.
Why?
It brings me down. I can't have that kind of level.
I'm doing it with a deviated septum. I can't breathe out of my nose either. Like that's why I'm so nasally. I've had my nose punched too many times in my day, but. We do have some super chats. Please get those in, guys. Leave us a thumbs up. Throwback says, want to wish you guys a happy new year. Thanks for making 2020 great, even through difficult times. Hope for a better 2021. Thank you, everyone. Good night. Yeah, we're hoping everybody has a better 2021 than they did a 2020. And Trevor L says, Denise hates Christmas. Now she hates whipped cream.
Did you see my tweet? I hate whipped cream. I've always hated whipped cream. I just finally came out.
Well, I agree with you. Whipped cream sucks. It's overrated. It's unnecessary.
I'm surprised you agree with me. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
It's like a miracle, a Fightful Christmas miracle.
It's overrated, but let's talk about the opening match. The Nerd Guru says Keith Lee being the world title guy in the Hurt Business is best for business. Naomi should be in there as well. I don't see Keith Lee being in there. I think he'll be out on his own, but he is the top contender now, Denise.
Right.
What are your thoughts? We had a promo to kick off the show, and I got to say, I agreed with Sheamus. They were like, why'd you beat him up? And he was like, because he's been bitching at me all the time, saying I'm going to turn on you, Drew. So I just said, shut up, and kicked him in the face. I'm for it.
So, okay, there was actually several things that I liked about this. So what I liked was that I thought that Sheamus was a really good opponent for Keith Lee because Sheamus ain't a small guy. We know that. He's a pretty good sized fella. But the fact that like that Keith Lee was like being able to like manhandle him across the ring and throw him in all of these directions, it made Keith Lee look that much better. Commentary was really putting over his size and just, you know, what a big guy he is. I thought that on that end, they did a really good job in building Keith Lee. But at the same time, I have to give props where props are due, because even though Keith Lee ended up, you know, winning that match and ended up looking great and all of that stuff, I think the real star of that match was Sheamus, because Sheamus did a whole lot during this match that I thought really made Keith Lee look that much better. And as for his match with Drew McIntyre next week, I know for a fact that Drew McIntyre is obviously going to win. There could be a shock, right? But there's not a part of me that thinks that Drew McIntyre is not going to win, but I am expecting a really good match out of this. So I'm looking forward to the match, but I really do think that the credit has to go where it goes, and it has to go to Sheamus.
Yeah, Sheamus is having one of the best in-ring runs of his career. It's really great. My only issue is, like, why don't they have these people win matches leading up to a top contender match? Sheamus had not won a one-on-one match since, I think, October? Something like that. Like, why can't he just win singles matches and then get put in a top contender match? It ain't hard. You book the matches.
What's the thing with Keith Lee, though? It's not like he's been, like, you know, explosively winning every week since God knows when.
Yeah, so have him win too. That's what I want to see. I want to see people win matches, and then I want to see the people that win matches face each other. That way, the person that wins that match, I'm more excited to see. But this match, it was a hefty white noise. My God. Also, I don't even care if it's Keith Lee doing it. Just watching Sheamus get hit with a spirit bomb, that was unreal. Like, I still look at him as a 250-pound guy, even though he's like 230 now. Like, he's much, much leaner. But yeah, I would love to see people win matches leading up to this. That way they actually deserved it. Another highlight was Keith Lee with that bot. It was like a shoulder block body press that he just fell on top of Sheamus with a pin. I thought that was cool too. We heard about Vince sending some big guys back to work on their stuff. If this is the result, okay, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, seriously. And well, you know, I really did think that Sheamus was the one that highlighted Keith Lee on this one, though, because there have been other matches where I'm like, oh man, Keith Lee just looked phenomenal in this match. But I think it was the fact that Sheamus was selling like crazy. I mean, he was getting to that AJ Styles selling level. Obviously, it's different because, you know, AJ Styles is just a smaller guy and that guy can bump like crazy. But, you know, different types of selling there. But I did feel that way for this match.
Yeah, so Keith Lee versus Drew McIntyre next week. All for it. I love it for Legends Night. It's going to be an insane week. I mean, that week is unreal. It's Wrestle Kingdom Monday morning, Legends Night Monday night, Wrestle Kingdom Tuesday morning. You've got the AEW big show that Wednesday, NXT New Year's Evil that Wednesday. Oh my gosh.
Are you stressed out, Sean? You look stressed.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough week.
I feel like while you were announcing all of that right now, I think the other part of you, like behind your brain, was like, oh, snap, I got to do this. You just formally did your mental schedule right now.
I've mentioned this Royal Rumble feature I'm working on, too. Like, it's 6,000 words right now, and I'm trying to get it done before, like a couple weeks before Rumble. So all the stuff, I'm like, ah.
I'm actually looking forward to Raw Legends Night. It may sound like a total loser, but I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, guys. I've posted a bunch of exclusive news on people they're hoping to bring in. FightfulSelect.com, the most direct way to support us. Bob Harris says, my first exposure to Brody was Pro Wrestling Ohio. A lot of people got to see him for the first time going to indie shows, and I think that's pretty awesome. Raul Ortega says, I just wanted to share that Brody's last match was on my birthday. Having that attachment for the rest of my life feels special. It's been a tough weekend. Love you guys. See you Wednesday. Thank you so much for dropping by. See on your birthday too. Oh, sorry. I think I froze up.
Yeah, you did. I was like, but, no.
StreamYard, man. It does this all the time. It does. Does it do it to you a lot?
It does, especially during interviews. It's the worst.
Ugh. Rob Reed says, to me, Brody's clothesline was as good as JBL's or Stan Hansen's. As a dad, it hit me hard hearing all the stories about him and his kids. RIP Brody. I was never a big like discus clothesline guy just because I would see him do that sit-down powerbomb and that sidewalk slam, but he got it over, and it worked. Bryant Heath says, the first house show I went to after my dad passed away, Harper saw me crying after his match and stared at me and smiled at me before nodding and walking off. I'll never forget that because of how he made me feel important.
Wow.
That's really the job. Story. That's what you do. You make moments, and Bryant will never forget this. I mean, he's remembering it right now, and it seems like a positive memory for him in light of some negativity, in light of both his father and Brody, but he can take something positive away from it, and that says an awful lot about John Huber. Ryan B. Jam says, I feel like Sheamus is going to cost Keith the match next week and set up a triple threat match at the Rumble. I wouldn't hate that, Denise, but I know a lot of people seem to think that Keith Lee's going to win the Rumble.
See, I kind of like both those. I don't think Keith Lee's going to win the Rumble. That's just my opinion. I don't know. I'm always wrong though in this type of stuff. Though I'm never right, so maybe I could be right.
Check out the betting favorites over at FightfulSelect.com, guys. Evan Wright says, I know it's a Raw review show. Sorry for this, but I've still got tears from the Dynamite match card stuff. Brody's. Lines is all over the show. Nice stuff. Yes. It is a Dark Order heavy show Wednesday, and it should be. And it should be. Corbin 101 says, tough to watch Ricochet on Raw talk last week. Sad to see Brody go this way. Destined for more. Let's talk about this awesome Ricochet Ali match. Now, I don't know who got over because Ricochet beat up the entire faction, including Ali, then got put to sleep. Then beat up Ali. So this was a match where we got to see Ricochet be Ricochet. That German suplex, even him getting slammed into the barricade, and that attack on Retribution. This was Ricochet. This was the superhero. This is the guy that they paid that money to sign. And we finally got to see it. It's just 50-50, 50-50 booking. How did you feel about this match?
I don't think I hated this match. I don't think I felt any negativity towards it. And the reason for that is because, like you said, this was Ricochet at his finest, actually. Yeah. And, you know, he was doing a lot all over the ring, you know, just really multitasking, if you would. And there were some really great moments. Like you said, the part where he got Retribution essentially like pulled him. That was a great visual because he's a tiny guy. So he like looked like a fly that was just being dragged off from the ring onto the barricade. So that was a cool spot. The splash from Ali to Ricochet on the outside of the ring looked fantastic too. But I like this match because I like what it did for Ricochet, where it showed a lot of his, you know, a lot of his skills that we've seen, but this was a nice reminder of all of that. And I also thought that this was the best match that we have seen any member of Retribution in. And I tweeted this out and I was thinking, man, is there another match? I was like, no, Denise, it's Retribution. There probably wasn't another match. And so for me, I actually thought that this did good stuff for both of them. Maybe not the best. I mean, obviously, Retribution could look a lot better, and we've said that. But at this point, I'll take what it is for Retribution. I'm not expecting much out of them. At this point, I'm just expecting a good match, and I thought this was a good match.
The only match that I can think of that it was as good as this was Ali versus Ricochet last month. That's it. That's it. And yeah, my issue is more with like who got over here, because Ricochet did all this great stuff, but then he got put to sleep. So it makes him look fairly strong, I guess. But
like he didn't lose though. Like, but yeah, he lost, right? But he at the same time still, like we said, he looked phenomenally in the ring. So I don't think that he necessarily took a big L here because at least he looked really good in the ring. And we all know that Retribution needs some wins. So
yeah, I'm less bothered by that than most. It's just I there are always so many shenanigans in WWE matches. I'm like, can't we just have one without
there was another worse shenanigan. We'll talk about it when we get there.
Yeah. Well, there was Grand Metalik defeating The Miz. I liked this because Grand Metalik went for a bunch of quick pins and they didn't work. Then he got one like a minute later. To me, that establishes some unpredictability, and I'm fine with Metalik winning. Like, these guys have to win sometimes, Denise, or otherwise you're never going to think they're going to win.
this was such a random match. When they announced this match, I was like, what? This is the match that we're getting today?
Yes.
There was something about it that just threw me off completely. And even though it was a very, very short match, I liked it for what it was. I thought they actually gave Grand Metal League some good moments to actually shine. Yeah. I like the fact that they even gave them some promo time ahead of this match. I don't think I remember the last time they really talked or were allowed a moment to talk. And I know there was obviously moments, but off the top of my head, it felt new to me. That's what I'm trying to get at here. And I even wrote down in my notes, like prior to the finish of this match, I was like, you know, it'd be pretty cool if they gave Grand Metal League a win here. Like you said, these guys got to get a win.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At some point or else, everybody's just going to see them like a bunch of jobbers. So when he got the win, I was like, oh, they actually went with it. That never happens. And I was happy with it. It wasn't a blowaway match, but I loved it for what it was.
Yeah, I particularly love that Metal League went for quick pins a couple times and didn't get them. But then he still got one like a minute later, because after he didn't get them, I wasn't expecting it. I was like, well, damn, they're going to have this match go 5-10 minutes. And then, bam, there it was. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I'm all for it. I'm also all for The Miz getting his briefcase back, just because I want some unpredictability on the show, Denise.
John, there's so much better unpredictability that you can get. That's not unpredictability. That's BS.
On WWE Monday Night Raw, airing Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the USA Network. Like, so how?
I think somebody there hates me. They're like, we know Denise Salcedo didn't want this, so let's just ruin her life and give them back the money in the bank. This is a troll job on me. I feel it in my bones.
Unpredictability.
This was not predictability, Sean. This was dumb. D-U-M. I can't even spell dumb anymore. D-U-M-B.
Unpredictability? Come on. We're going to see Hurt Business and New Day some more. We're going to see Nia doing some stuff with Asuka some more. Woof.
Okay, we're going to see Miz with the Money in the Bank some more. Woof.
I hope he loses it to somebody that can do something with
it. Who cares if he loses it? Who cares if he wins? At this point, who cares?
I mean, somebody, me.
Not me. I feel like people only care just because people like me get mad about it.
Denise, have you ever watched the movie Joe Dirt?
No.
You need to watch it.
I'm sorry.
Snakes and Sparklers, Denise.
What?
Snakes and Sparklers.
Look, Sean, if you're going to give me a reference, at least give me something that I could possibly get. Sean, there's nothing that you can say to me that's going to get me excited about The Miz having the Money in the Bank again.
Denise, you are not familiar with the story of Joe Dirt and Kick and Wing.
No.
It's not about you. It's about the consumer.
I don't give a damn about the consumer right now. I'm pissed.
So Kickin' Wing was a fellow who had a fireworks stand next to the road, but he wasn't selling any. Do you know why, Denise?
Why?
Because all that he sold were snakes and sparklers.
Okay,
Do you know why he sold snakes and sparklers?
I don't know why. Why? Because
those were the only kind that he liked.
And?
He didn't have any black cats, Roman candles, screaming memes, lady fingers, fuzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity doodahs, or crap flappers.
Is this like a Kentuckian thing? Like, is this like a story we all tell each other?
He didn't have owning a fire stand or firework stand, he did not have any whistling bungholes, spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, honky lighters, Husker Du's, Husker Don'ts, cherry bombs.
Sean, Mitzi what Gagers, does it have to do with the Miz?
With or without the scooter sticks or one single whistling kitty chasers.
Look, I said I was going to be nice to you today.
I'm just saying. It's not always about you. Sometimes it's about the consumer.
I don't know very many consumers that want this. And I get it. The Sean Ross app stands are going to love it because they love anything you say. I'm forming their own opinion. But Denise Salcedo thinks that this is dumb.
Oh, God. I hope Reddit trolls you like they troll me. Actually, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Oh, I don't care. I could take the heat. I'm a man. I don't give a damn.
God, I love it. I love it. Oh, please trash them. Drag them, Denise, please. Bryant Heath says, we're talking about a person who doesn't like whipped cream and popcorn. I don't like whipped cream either. I do like popcorn.
Jesus Christ. I can't believe people are defending this. Thank you, Zach Barber. Zach Barber has a brain, ladies and gentlemen. Good taste.
Drew Nicholas says, I'm annoyed about the Miz Money in the Bank thing. He wrestled the match at TLC. How are you able to wrestle the match, lose, and then be given the briefcase again? Because he didn't cash it in. John Morrison cashed it in.
Sean, it's dumb.
Hannah M says, I've decided Brock is going to return and win, then challenge Roman, then they can have Paul Heyman on a pole match. Also, Bianca's going to win. She even has a Chronicle releasing the day before.
Paul Heyman on a pole match?
That'd be pretty good.
See, that's unpredictable, Sean.
They could put him on a forklift. That would be pretty good. I would like that. Denise, sometimes it bothers me, the things that you say. How do you sleep at night?
You don't think it bothers me, the things that you say?
What?
I'm sorry, but when I saw your tweet, Sean, I rolled over. I physically rolled over. I was like, what is this nonsense? I cannot respect Sean Ross Sapp anymore.
You're rolling over. You won't be when you get a good night's sleep thanks to Helix Sleep. And no matter what garbage you tweet, you'll be able to rest easy thanks to our friends at Helix Sleep. A couple of months ago, I put out there, I was like, hey, guys, what kind of mattress should I get? And I had a bunch of people that said Helix. So I ordered one and I loved it so much. I hit them up and I was like, let's work together. Fortunately, we are. They have a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. I did not want to go to a mattress store. I did not want to go in blind shopping for a mattress online. So I took this quiz and it was perfect for me. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses that are great for cooling you down if you sleep hot, and a plus for plus size folks as well. This was a huge upgrade over the slab of memory foam that I had been sleeping on. If you're looking for a mattress, you take the quiz, you order it, and it comes right to your door shipped for free. You don't have to go to a mattress store at all. And if you don't like it, after 100 nights, they'll pick it up for you and they'll take it back. They've got a 10-year warranty. And if you go to helixsleep.com/Fightful and take their quiz, they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. It's working for me. I feel refreshed all the time. It's awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired magazine. So if you don't care about Fightful, at least care about GQ and Wired. They are offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/Fightful. That's helixsleep.com/Fightful. I truly love this stuff. I do not promote stuff that I don't at least try once. And I love this. I'm going to get one for my guest room too whenever we move. I am so excited about this product. Tell them about it. Hit them up at Helix Sleep on Twitter. Denise.
What?
Kevin Slitter says, damn you, Sean, now I want to watch Joe Dirt again. Why wouldn't you? A lot of life lessons there. Manny Santos says, in Garza's promo, he says he's going to give the rose to a special woman next week. Who do you think the return is? Melina, Eva, or Kelly? I think it's Eva Marie because I know WWE wanted to bring her in for that. So I think it's Eva Marie.
Hoorah.
And by the way, R-Truth ran through his roses. That's all we got. We got a call back to the Charlie Caruso thing. Cool, yeah. I guess.
At this point, there needs to be a feud between the backstage reporters. I mean, Sarah got a rose last week. That was Charlie's thing, and now she's getting it back again. At this point, I'd be a little upset.
Yeah. Yeah. Shayna Baszler defeated Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke has improved so much in the ring. Again, she never seems out of her depth. An awful lot of shenanigans here, though. Why didn't Shayna just let her get counted out?
I don't know. Maybe she just really wanted to not have her get counted out.
Maybe. Maybe that was it. But I like the in-ring. I like the Kirifudu clutch outside. And Baszler eventually wins. But Dana Brooke has improved so much. I love watching Shayna work over people's arms. But Baszler ends up attacking Mandy Rose after all this. I don't think Nia was out there for this, was she?
She wasn't. Because I have several thoughts on this. Okay, so first of all, I got happy when Nia Jax wasn't out there because I thought, what if they're just going to break them apart? That's it. Like, they're not going to make it official. Like, hey, they're breaking up or whatever. They're just going to stop appearing together. So that's what I thought. So once, you know, this match was good in the sense that it was getting back that Shayna killer, you know, woman that we all knew and loved before and kind of getting rid of that like whole comedy stench that she was doing with Nia. So I liked it in that sense. However, if I'm going to be completely honest with myself and how I felt watching this match, I didn't care to see Shayna Baszler win whatsoever. Call me crazy. I wanted to see Dana Brooke win this match.
Sure.
I felt there was more excitement. I would have been more interested in seeing Dana Brooke win this match, which, to be honest, was not something that I would have said a couple of months ago. But I just think right now, everything that Shayna did with Nia has completely lost my interest. They have to do a lot more to reestablish her as the Shayna that she was before this. If I want to continue seeing her, you know, grow as, you know, obviously I can continue seeing her and all of that, but I had more interest in seeing Dana Brooke win, especially because they just, you know, her and Mandy just became a thing. I want to see them actually get some sort of importance, feel important for once, and not they just both get left, you know, knocked out in the ring. So
WWE has really screwed up with Shayna all year. She was supposed to win the Royal Rumble. They switched it to Charlotte. She bit Becky Lynch and it just womp. Wasn't good. She did not beat Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. And 1 month later, Becky had to vacate the title, which you can say that's positive, negative, whatever. Then they just didn't have her on TV for months. Then when they did, they had her in a tag team title program with Nia Jax that really slowed her down. And she was eating all the pins for Nia. And I don't see that as being necessary whatsoever. I could see that. I could definitely see that. That's later on.
Saying. Like, if you were going to pull the plug on Shayna, you have to have pulled it when she was hot. And right now, she doesn't feel hot. And that's unfortunate because Shayna has something so natural in her. Like, you look at her, you know she's going to kick your butt.
Yeah. Guys, please leave us a thumbs up if you're watching at youtube.com/Fightful. Please head over to youtube.com/Fightful Scraps and subscribe to our new Clips channel as well. We've started to roll out some videos there as well. But both Nia and Shayna entered
on there.
What is it?
I hope you put some Denise Salcedo videos in there.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see.
Yeah, you're going to be on the funniest moments compilation that okay. drops. Yeah. Also, you're going to be on our mixtape that I drop very soon.
Oh, thanks. I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah, you do that. Nia and Shayna entered the Royal Rumble. Cool. I'm excited. I love the Royal Rumble.
Thumbs up.
Yep. Charlotte defeats Nia via DQ because there's always a distraction. There's always some goofiness. There's always some peripheral shit. There's never just these two are going to face each other and one's better than the other. There's always somebody at ringside, like somebody's going to roll out and look at Drew at the commentary table or something like that. This was all right. Nia's powerbomb looked good, but I don't know how, like, why they didn't just let this go to Nia tapping out. What good did it do if we knew she was about to tap out and got DQ'd? She lost the match.
This is exactly, okay, so this is the match to finish that I didn't like, what I was mentioning earlier, shenanigans and all of this is what I was referring to. I did not like this. Charlotte just came back. There is no earthly reason why she shouldn't be getting a clean win over Nia Jax. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand why it couldn't just be a clean win. Like, we get all of these, you know, crazy finishes in so many different places where there's some where I'm like, you know what? Maybe I could defend that. Maybe. Not this one. Charlotte just came back. She's tag team champions. Come on. I don't get this one. I wasn't a fan of this.
Yeah, I agree. Just let her win. Nia is
bringing all the hot takes today.
Nia's past the point of needing to be protected or anything like that. She's not on the upward trend right now. This was one of the better matches she's had recently, and it still wasn't great. It just, I don't need to see it. Don't need to see it. Oh, what I needed to see was AJ Styles screaming at Elias and then yelling, "Frick yeah!" as he high-fived Omos. Omos is doing really good in this role.
Okay, but Sean, so I saw your tweet, right, where you're making fun of AJ, and I was like, Sean Ross Sapp is making fun of the lingo that AJ Styles uses?
Yeah.
I was like, how could this be? Sean Ross Sapp making fun of somebody else's vocabulary. I mean, no. And I was going to be mean to you. I was going to call you out on it, but I didn't.
You're being mean right now.
Almost. Well, Monday's almost over, so.
Oh, my gosh. My God. So I think Omos has been really, really awesome in this role. Even if he never wrestles, it's okay. I'm getting some real, like, Christian Tomko vibes from, like, 2005. No. Really? Oh, no. Okay. Never mind. Yeah. Never mind. Well, you did good. You did good, Denise. I got the joke.
I was like, oh, he didn't get the joke and failed.
I did. It was good. Elias has barely wrestled in like the last 16 months. He's had like 14 matches. Three of those have been like gimmicky guitar matches. You've got a couple battle royals, Royal Rumbles in there, and like a 10-man tag. So he's really only had the opportunity to do like 10 matches over the last year and a half. So we got to see a whole lot of his offense in this, like a TKO. He was busting out everything. Only qualm, I would get rid of the old school Meteora thing. Do it from the top rope or whatever. It, like, I was willing to suspend my disbelief for 30 years for The Undertaker. At this point, I'm just like, AJ would yank you off the top rope or push you off. He's not going to watch you do that. But how'd you feel about the match? I thought it was pretty good.
Well, if you're going to suspend your disbelief for anybody, it might as well be The Undertaker, first off.
Yes.
Secondly, I got to say that Omos is becoming one of my favorite on-screen characters on Raw. And it's, you know, it's getting there, but I like it because he's not doing much, but what he does is just enough. And there was a lot of the outside stuff that he did during today's match. Just so I like what he is bringing because it doesn't feel forced. It just kind of feels natural what he's doing. It doesn't feel like too much. It's fine. And the match itself, it was good. I liked it. I liked everything you said about Elias. And I'm happy for Elias that he's getting this opportunity for as much as, you know, we can get mad about other stuff. But
well, Nerd Guru is very excited for Jackson Ryker to get the opportunity to be obliterated by Omos.
There you go. That's the good stuff.
Bryant Reed says, saw Ryker on my TV yet again. Change the channel. Well, you know, AJ picks up the win. It was a good match. We've got some really good in-ring wrestling lately on the show. Injection says, Sean, did you miss my super chat? Not if it's related to the main event. Otherwise, send it again with some little stars next to it. Zach Barber said, I spent the whole match worried about Charlotte's safety. I just can't enjoy Nia matches. Sad reality, Denise.
Yeah, I won't say that I spent the whole match getting worried, but there were a couple of moments where I was like, oh, like it crosses your mind, unfortunately.
Yeah, of course. Justin Smith says, I'm quite happy Miz got Money in the Bank back because it helped me believe that WWE cares about the details of how it's cashed in. See, that's a positive, Denise.
Oh, Jesus, Sean, you're reaching for them positive.
Listen, Denise.
Now you're trying too hard.
You're my friend. You don't have to call me Jesus, Sean. You can just call me Sean.
Can I call you? I don't want to call you.
Ross. Okay. T5 DeGreat says, you mean the same heathen that hates Die Hard never watched Joe Dirt? Joe Dirte. I bet she likes Van Hagar, not Van Halen. Well, I appreciate the super chat, but I actually prefer Van Hagar to Van Halen. I think that right now is the best Van Halen song that they ever did.
You know what? I don't care. I'll bring the heat. I don't care who gets mad at me. Bring me the heat. It's fine. I'm cold. It's 46 degrees right now. I'll take it.
Zach Barber says they had to kill Riker to cower in fear of a black guy. Reed. Rob Reed says, I see some early Diesel Shawn Michaels similarities. This is clearly about me and you, Denise. They think that I'm Diesel and you're Shawn Michaels.
Oh, I'll take it.
Yeah, it's not about AJ and Omos. It's about Shawn and Denise. Like, you do your pose and I'll be like, yeah, like that. That's
hey, actually, is it Rob Wilkins? I think he did a edit of us when I was Shawn Michaels for Halloween.
I think he did. I think he did.
Yeah.
Also, no injection. I did not miss your super chat. I see that when it says they're protecting Nia for a reason. She's winning the Rumble, ain't she? Not according to those betting odds. FightfulSelect.com. That would be a terrible idea, Denise.
I hate to be so mean. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be mean, but no.
Aaron Entertainment says the Padres are crazy. They are going for it. My God, are they going for it? Well, Matt Riddle went for it. He tried to name their team the Positively Hard Bros.
Is that going to segue into anything? Because I was expecting it for tonight.
No, we got Helix tonight. I've exhausted the Blue Chew ones for the month. But this match was good. I loved Xavier using the Brody Lee big discus lariat and Tom Phillips calling it the Harper lariat. That makes me so happy. They did not shy away from acknowledging this.
They shouldn't.
Very emotional. And this is a fun match, too. I mean, they're killing it. They're having really good matches. I'm getting a vibe, like a 2013-2014 vibe, where there were a lot of Shield, Usos, CM Punk, Del Rio, Daniel Bryan type matches where you would just throw in combinations and they would have bangers for like 15-20 minutes, Denise. Obviously, the stakes aren't quite as high now as they were back then, but we're still seeing some good matches. How'd you feel about this one?
Okay, so wait, we're on Jeff Matt Woods, right?
The Positively Hard Bros losing to
what are we on right now? Okay, good. Yes. All right, so honestly, okay, there are several thoughts that I had on this. So one, I kind of feel a little opposite than you for this match. So I actually thought that the not even the first half, but a little bit more than the first half was not really, it was just a match. It didn't feel like anything that blew me out of the water, anything like that whatsoever.
That's a formula I want them to change with these tag team matches. It's so slow and plodding. You got eight guys. Go balls to the wall.
That's what I'm saying. So that was one of the things that I was thinking was there's so much talent in this ring, and I don't think this match peaked to its full potential that I was expecting for the amount of talent and who was in this match. The only thing that I can say that I really, really liked from this was Angry Bobby Lashley. I thought Angry Bobby Lashley was the highlight of this match. So
he's protected Denise like big time. Yeah. Like I don't think he's been pinned since like August or July or something like that. Since maybe losing the title or maybe somewhere along the line with Apollo Crews. Ever since then, he's been getting like decisive wins over people, especially Jeff Hardy. I like that. I want the champions protected. They're supposed to be the best. And I love what they're doing with Bobby Lashley.
Well, I've said on here, I haven't been as crazy about it. But today, I was a fan of it, okay? I liked the angry Bobby Lashley that we got today. But again, I thought this match could have been so much better for who was in that match.
Well, what do you think about the intergender match between Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton? Wait, that's not what happened. Instead, she goes and gets him a present. This is after Alexa had called him out and he appeared in the Firefly Funhouse and he's tearing stuff up and Alexa challenges him to meet her. Randy showed up because he thought that Bray would be there. Obviously, Bray's got the night off for a multitude of reasons. Lost one of his close friends. He ain't going to be there tonight. But Alexa gets out a gas can and asks Orton to set her on fire. Then Alexa Bliss calls Randy Orton a little bitch and pours gas all over herself. And Orton's whole thing, Denise, is, I'm not going to do it because you want me to. As opposed to, I might go to fucking jail or prison.
He already burned a man, Sean.
What kind of
now he burns a woman?
What kind of contract does this guy have, Denise? Why didn't I get this written into my new deal? I couldn't get this. I can't set anything on fire and be exempt from it. Randy Orton can set buildings on fire and caskets on fire and humans on fire. Unreal. Unreal. So we end with a cliffhanger. It's Randy Orton just with a match, Denise.
Okay. So look, I'm just going to be honest. I like this. I thought it was, you know, oh, Jesus, Sean, don't set your stuff on fire, please. I don't want the stream to go on fire.
I'm going
to
do it, Denise.
We're going to go viral, please. Oh, my God, he's lighting a candle, ladies and gentlemen. What kind of candle is it? What's the smell? Got to give me some light.
It's vanilla cookie crunch.
Vanilla cookie crunch. Lovely.
And these are, man, these are dirty. These are matches from my wedding 5 years ago.
You still have them?
Oh, I have so many of them. We forgot to put them on the tables. So we have like hundreds of matchboxes still. Yeah.
Hey, they always come in handy. It's not like you can't use them.
Oh, my gosh. We have a lot of super chats. Rob Reed says, Alexa was straight fire tonight. My God. Nerd Guru says, actual good show. I'm a sucker for a cliffhanger. In-ring work with Nia was, excluding Nia, was superb. Here's where it's stupid, Denise.
Wait, what's stupid? The finish? I mean, the
cliffhanger. I love a good cliffhanger, but the cliffhanger can't be, did he burn this woman alive or not? Especially when they are doing a talk show right next to the spot where they would have done it.
Yeah, but I don't think we're supposed to associate those two things.
Associate Raw Talk, which, by the way, they showed the Ricochet Raw Talk promo.
About it.
Come on,
you gotta WWE here.
You ain't doing that to me. Ricochet's Talking Raw promo was shown.
You're more mad about this than the Miz.
I'm not mad about shit. But yes, the cliffhanger of did he burn a woman alive when they do a talk show 15 feet away and Colt Bedeau says on Raw Talk, they don't know what happened with Randy and Alexa because it went dark in the ring.
Yes, but see, they answered the question.
Denise, do you want me to turn out my light and see what you can see here? I bet you can see this fire.
Yeah.
Especially when the fire is right next to where they're supposed to be. Don't do this, Denise.
Well, maybe they blinked and they turned around.
Oh, my God.
Sean, it was a fine ending, okay?
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. It was a great visual with Randy.
WWE isn't going to report on their own website, Alexa Bliss burned alive. Yes, of course they are.
Okay, but hold on a second. Can we please talk about how psycho Alexa Bliss is if she's willing to get herself set on fire just because her man was set on fire? Come on, please. We need to go to that.
Alex, you all can subscribe to FightfulSelect.com and see Sour Graps twice a week. And he says, I might not be mad, but I'm goddamn furious. Here's the thing. If I hadn't learned and never taken it, like I can't take enough this too seriously because I know I'm going to have to cover some dumber shit next week. Like that's just the reality of it. But that was so stupid. It was so stupid. Oh,
suspend your disbelief, Sean. Have a little fun.
Suspend my disbelief when they do a talk show 10 feet away. Kiwi Rob says, I did that on purpose. That way Denise couldn't fire back. Am I the only one that thinks Alexa Bliss has fallen down in her storylines, considering she was a champion earlier this year for you and Denise? No, I don't. I think this is a big storyline for her. She's in the main event segment of Monday Night Raw. Regardless of how stupid the angle is, it's the main event segment of Raw, Denise.
No, I love what Alexa Bliss is doing. And I know there are a lot of things that maybe aren't very perfect about what she's doing. You know, I've read what people have said about this. I'm aware. But I personally like it because I've always been a fan of Alexa Bliss and I've always felt that she had it in her to do a character like this. And now that I think about it, like how many women get the opportunity to do characters like these? These are usually characters that are given to men.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the last one that I really vividly remember something like this, AJ Lee, when she was a prominent fixture on Raw, and, like, the whole show revolved around her. Now we're seeing this angle revolve more around Alexa. Zach says, that ending would have been perfect for Young and the Restless or Passions, not so much for a weekly show that operates in real time. Yeah. Oblivious Kari, don't understand what she means or what they mean, but says, why does the loser always get the upper hand? Well, I don't know why Denise always gets the upper hand, but she does. Bryant Heath says, I don't necessarily like the fact that they did the cliffhanger, especially since they'll more than likely have it on Raw Talk after, but I did enjoy the theatrics and emotional side of it. Well, lucky for you, Bryant, they didn't do it on Raw Talk. They didn't reference it. They have no idea. And the Jam on Ryan B. Jam says that Raw had butter disregard for its fans' intelligence with that dumb ending segment. And he also says that was a very dumb and bad ending segment to what was a very good and entertaining Raw that seemed to fly by. Denise?
I think people are crazy. It was fine for what it was. Come on, he just burned the Fiend, and you liked that. So okay. How was that different?
How was it different?
Outrageous.
Yes. How was it different? We saw that happen. We saw that actually happen. They didn't say, tune in tomorrow to see if he burned a man alive. Because the reality of the situation is, Denise, even suspending your disbelief, you would find out before you tuned into the next episode of the show.
So then let me ask you, what if they would have burned her alive? Then what? Are you going to come back next week to find out what happened to Alexa Bliss getting burned alive?
I mean, maybe, yeah, but I mean, that's not the point.
I think their train of thought was, hey, if you don't tell people what happened, then maybe they'll tune in next week to see if Alexa Bliss got burned or not.
Yeah, that's a cliffhanger, I know what a cliffhanger is, Denise. I do them all the time. I literally
do cliffhangers. I've never seen a cliffhanger.
We tease shoot fight stories every Friday on our show. Yes, cliffhangers are a normal thing. Cliffhangers happen all the time. You tease something, but not when that thing is, did this person die or not?
Hey, you know how many times I've seen shows where, like, you don't know if the person died or not and it just ends? Or when you watch an entire movie and you have no idea what happens and you have to make up the ending for yourself? I hate that, but it happens, okay? We have to live with it.
But then you don't see a talk show that is in canon.
Sean, how many people watch Raw Talk? I've never seen Raw Talk.
Lots of people watch Raw Talk.
Okay, well, I haven't seen Raw Talk, okay? Sue me, okay?
Bryant Heath says, Denise defending this booking is worse than her stance on Joe Dirt.
How can I have a stance on Joe Dirt? I've never seen it.
Justin Smith says, Alexa's outdoing both the Fiend and Orton in this storyline. If she hasn't been set on fire, I hope we see her in the championship pictures.
Look, Sean, I am not here.
Maybe we'll find out next Monday.
Opinion, okay? I'm going to have different opinions, all right? That's what people can expect from this show.
It's just a really terrible one. It doesn't make any sense.
Control, copy, and paste of Sean Ross Sapp.
Oblivious, yeah, that would make too much sense. Oblivious Carey says, ring announcers whispering, oh no, please don't burn her alive. It's insane. Why do they talk so silently like, oh no, that's just wrong? They did yell towards the end. But yeah, I always thought it was weird when they acted like they were at a golf tournament.
No one ever does anything when someone's being burned alive. Like, can you imagine that in real life though? Seriously, if someone's being burned alive, you bet your ass I'm going to do something about it.
Carlos Easy says, Monday night, choose your own adventure. And Manny Santos says, Eva Marie coming back as a legend, Heat. I know a lot of people are like, oh, this person is a legend. This person isn't a legend. The term legend is a thing applied like superstars. Even if you don't think somebody is a superstar, everybody on that roster is a superstar. The WWE legends are just any alumni that they have. It's a thing applied to those people. I'm not going to get all worked up about that. I know a lot of people got upset about some of them. I don't see any problem with them calling anybody. They want to bring back the Brooklyn Brawler, they can call him a legend. I don't care about that. Denise, tell the people where they can hear more of your horrible wrestling takes.
You're welcome. You can come bring the heat to me because I can take it. I'm not going to delete my Twitter. I'm not going to act like all of a sudden I didn't say what I said because I have a backbone. So come and attack me. I don't care. Wait, see, you made me mess up my own last name. @_ Denise Salcedo, Twitter and Instagram. You may hate my opinions, but at least I stand by them.
Oh, they're terrible. They really are. They're really bad ones, but I appreciate the hard work you do.
Pause, Sean. I'm 500 subscribers away from 13K. Wait, it's 500 followers away from 13K. Heads up.
500 followers away from how many?
13K. Thank you. I'm desperate for followers.
There you go, guys. Follow Denise. She is desperate for followers. Please subscribe to Fightful Scraps. It's youtube.com/FightfulScraps. Get us to 1K subscribers. And hey, just leave those compilations on repeat. Get our watch hours up for us. We need 4,000 of them before we can make the money.
Wow, Sean. Making the people commit fraudulent acts.
Fraudulent acts? Hell no.
That's fraudulent.
Come on. It's not fraud. Ooh, you pissed me off so bad. We're out of here.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.